What up, what up? You already know this is Punch Drunk Boxing, aka Mr. Moo Shine himself. Ladies and gentlemen, boxing been good 2024. Great fights, good announcement, drama outside the ring. Hey, yo, man, it's been a roller coaster ride 2024. It was an epic year 2023, and I'm happy that boxing has kept that momentum, has kept the eyeballs in the sport of boxing that they sustained and acquired in 2023. Ladies and gentlemen, y'all already know April 20th, we got Ryan Garcia versus Devin the Dream Haney. Devin Haney, two-division world champion, undisputed in the lightweight division, and Ryan Garcia have yet capture a world title. This is going to be his first world title attempt to capture. And hey, it's a good fight. You know, two rivalries. Both of these guys fought six times in amateurs. Ryan Garcia won three times. Devin Haney won three times. This is going to be the seventh time that they face off. But now, you know, it counts. It counts. And to add to that, Ryan Garcia did give Devin Haney his last eight count in the amateurs. So, of course, there is a lot of buzz with this fight. But, of course, a lot of people's talking about Ryan Garcia and what he's been saying outside of the conversation between him and Devin the Dream Haney. You know, he's been saying things, trying to expose the quote-unquote the Illuminati, trying to expose, you know what I'm saying, the powers that be, the Hollywood community, the weirdo community. Yes, yes, yes. And to be honest, I support him. Yeah, I support him 100%. You know what? It takes balls. It takes a testicular fortitude. It takes cojones to do and to say what Ryan Garcia is doing and saying, especially, you know, in his position as a relevant athlete. You know, a lot of people like to say things when they're not relevant anymore. You know, a lot of people want to say things when they don't got the spotlight on them no more. But, you know, a lot of people are saying, why Ryan Garcia is saying this now? He should just prepare for Devin Haney. Like, he's not focused, man. He's not focused, man. But, hey, yo, I mean, what you think these fighters be doing throughout training camp? You know what I'm saying? Do you think they train 24/7? No. You know what I'm saying? They got their downtime, and maybe he voices opinion during his downtime. Oh, yo, you got to get off social media. Well, everybody got to get off social media. Everybody on social media then. Because on social media, you mean that means that you're not focused in your life, you're not focused on your kids, you're not focused in your job. No, sometimes you work and then you off work. Sometimes you're in school and then you off school. You're doing homework, you're doing work, you're taking care of your kids. Sometimes your kids fall asleep and you just want to be on your phone laying down and looking on social media and stuff like that, like a bunch of regular people. See, this the thing is that people feel like fighters ain't regular people. You know, a lot of people think that fighters is animals. A lot of people that think that fighters is animals, right? And when we talk about, when fans be talking about these guys, you know, y'all contradict yourself. You know what I'm saying? A lot of fans contradict yourself. Now, there's a lot of people that do support Ryan Garcia. There's a lot of people that be like, hey, yo, Ryan Garcia crazy. Ryan Garcia crazy. To be honest, man, I think the people that are crazy is the ones that keep their mouth shut. The ones that keep their mouth closed. Hey, yo, the boxing community, and put it this way, everybody in society that look at these athletes, you got, it's whack that y'all like to pick and choose who you want to talk, who could express their feelings, who could expose who. You know what I'm saying? I remember when one of the Fox, I forgot her name, one of the Fox journalists or a correspondent, whatever you want to call it, told LeBron James, shut up and dribble. And there was a lot of people be like, how dare this woman say LeBron James just shut up and dribble? He's a human. He got a voice. Or you just look at him like an entertainer and just like dribble the ball and stuff like that. A lot of people ain't like that. And now some of the people in the boxing community just want Ryan Garcia to just shut up and punch. Shut up and punch, man. Shut up and just prepare. Shut up and just think about Devin the Dream Haney. You already know. Now, of course, and I know there's a little bit of legitimacy to that because, of course, boxing is different from other sports. You know what I'm saying? In basketball, you know what I'm saying? You just got to put that ball in the hole. But in boxing, it's do or die, man. It's life or death. That's how dangerous boxing is. So I can understand there's got to be a level of focus when you go out there in preparation for battle. I understand that. But this guy been doing it for his whole life. You know, Ryan Garcia been fighting his whole life, you know? He started real young. Just like Devin the Dream Haney started real young. Okay, I support Ryan Garcia, and no, he's not crazy. For me, the people that are crazy are those that keep their mouth shut. If he's talking about that, yo, save the kids. If he's talking about sex trafficking, if he's talking about child trafficking, child abuse and stuff like that, why is everybody saying that Ryan Garcia crazy? No, the people that's doing that to children are crazy. The people that know about it and are knowledgeable about it, those are the people that's crazy. It's not Ryan Garcia. Ryan Garcia is the one that got the cojones to speak up. Because he ain't afraid to lose endorsements. He ain't afraid to lose some friends that he met along the way when he became famous. We got this thing backwards, ladies and gentlemen. We turning abnormal into normal. And we letting it rock. Didn't we just see John Cena in the Oscar? Butt ass naked? Oh, what happened? What happened, Oscar? You don't think that children watch the Oscars? You don't think that children and the youth, you know what I'm saying, are fans of celebrities? Or you don't think that religious people, you know what I'm saying, just like to watch actors and stuff like that, and they want to see how they're going to, you know, earn their awards, but then we got to see John Cena half naked? Huh? Because the Rainbow Army folks say, you know, it was a good idea, Mr. Cena. Mr. Cena, we have a great idea for you to go out there in front of the whole world. Just take your clothes off, you know? Yes. And John Cena said, whoa, whoa, whoa. Yes, yes, it's a good idea. Everybody will laugh. Everybody will find it funny. Everybody will find it funny. How many times do we have to have a celebrity come out after they don't want to indulge with the Hollywood community and tell us how weird that community is? How many times? Dave Chappelle told us that. We seen some celebrities go crazy. You remember when Dave Chappelle had that interview with the professor? Shout out to the professor. I forgot his name, but I know he passed away. And he said, what would make Martin Lawrence go out there and wave a gun in the middle of the street crazy? He ain't crazy. He's a strong man. What would make David Chappelle, he was talking about himself, what would make me go to Africa? What would make Mariah Carey take her clothes off in TRL? So when we listen to these people, right, we do admire their work. We do admire. I'm not going to say that all these people, just because they're famous and they're geniuses in their own craft, that they're perfect. But how many of these people is going to come out and tell us the weird society and expose the weird society? How many people going to say that to the point that we're going to be like, you know what, we're going to give these guys the benefit of the doubt because they in the room or they're in a society that we really don't know. Ryan Garcia is trying to expose what's going on in the world that is really effed up. And instead of just saying to shut up and fight, and instead of just saying, hey, yo, Ryan Garcia, man, you mental, you crazy. Every time somebody trying to expose somebody in the weird society, you want to label them as crazy. You let these people label these people that's trying to create awareness crazy. We're the crazy ones that let that happen. Time and time again, we're the crazy ones. And where are we going to stop? Where are we just going to give them the benefit of the doubt? Some people be like, hey, yo, they're crazy. They're just screaming for help. Hey, yo, yeah. They're probably screaming for help for us to support them and to listen to them and to give them the benefit of the doubt. And because of our voices and our support, you know, maybe us collectively, we will expose them. And maybe if us give them the benefit of the doubt and support, there would be more people like Ryan Garcia to have the balls and this particular fortitude to expose the wrong and to expose the evil and expose the weird. But we're like robots out here. We're like robots. Just like when you're trying to vote for a Republican or a Democrat or something like that. Like back in the day, they made you feel like Donald Trump is the man. Oh, yo, he's cool. He's cool when he was a Democrat. Then he switched Republican. Oh, no, he racist. He racist. Stop trying to be a robot. Stop trying to be a robot, y'all. I believe that Ryan Garcia is very dedicated to this fight April 20th, but he's also dedicated to create awareness. He's also dedicated to expose the wrong, the weird, because at the end of the day, that's more important. I understand some people just want to look, and I understand sport. I understand sport. And look, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not saying I'm right or wrong. All I'm speaking is unbiasedly, logically, and objectively. That's all. I'm not trying to say that I'm right. I'm not trying to say that I know it all. But Ryan Garcia got the time to train, got the time to take care of his family, got the time to speak out. Let the man speak out. Why are we always trying to label these people crazy like we labeled Kanye West crazy when he was trying to say, man, they were trying to medicate me? Why don't we speak up? Why don't we hold the crazy people accountable? Oh yeah, but then when it's time to lock up R. Kelly or Epstein or whatever his name is, or what's the other guy from Hollywood? Oh, then we want to speak up. Oh yeah, this guy's weirdo. Oh, you, these guys are rapists. Hey yo, these guys are sexually violating these other people and stuff like that. When Terry Crews spoke out, was it weird? Did you give him the benefit of the doubt? How many times people got to speak out? So Ryan Garcia is doing the right thing. I always say that boxing translates to life itself. You know? I like what Ryan Garcia doing. I like when Teofimo Lopez speak out and try to expose the corruption and the politics of the sport of boxing, because we talk about it. Why not the people that's in the sport of boxing talk about their own business? I mean, we say that as a boxing fan. We always be like, hey, yo, this is politics, yo. It's so much corruption in the sport of boxing. And as soon as a guy like Teofimo Lopez is saying, hey, yo, this is effed up, y'all. This is politics and corruption in the sport of boxing. You be like, he's weird. He's crazy. He's mental. But you could say it. But you're not even in the business of boxing. He is. He see it firsthand. But you don't want to give him the benefit of the doubt. It's easy to call somebody crazy. No, you're the crazy one, damn it. You're the crazy one. How about that? You think you know it all. You think you know more than Ryan Garcia and Teofimo Lopez in their own respective and career. Like you in the negotiation room. We see it. Don't you think that Nick Ball got robbed? Don't you think that Barroso got robbed? With Rolly Romero, don't you think that Jackson Martinez got robbed with Rolly Romero? Huh? Don't you think that Francis Ngannou got robbed with Tyson Fury? Huh? Now you're going to say that you know politics and corruption in the sport of boxing, but then when the boxers say it, he crazy? Come on, y'all. Come on, ladies and gentlemen. All I'm trying to say is let them speak. Every time an athlete want to talk about, I'm sorry, and referred his belief and want to talk about Christ. You notice? Yeah. I believe in conspiracy theories as well. You notice when an athlete talk about Christ, all of a sudden they're crazy, or all of a sudden they can't do this and they can't do that when we was glorifying them. You remember with Tim Tebow. I don't know if y'all, I know this is a boxing channel. Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow was the man in college. Heisman Trophy after Heisman Trophy. Came to the professional level and then did his thing in the playoffs and stuff like that. But you know what? You know what he was doing? Every time he scored a touchdown, every time you see Tim Tebow, he's praying to God. He got that one knee down, praying to God Almighty. And you know what he was doing? He was converting a lot of young people. He was converting a lot of young folks. Had a rapid all over the world that, what was it? I think it was 2011, 2012. Tim Tebow was the most famous athlete. That was on the NFL side. Guess what? On the basketball side, there was a person named Linsanity. Jeremy Lin for the New York Knicks. That stepped up. Third string on the bench. Stepped up. And he started scorching team after team after team. And Linsanity was growing. Look, I love the time Jeremy Lin was playing. I went to the Korean, to Bongchang. And anybody know that Korean restaurant in New York City, Bongchang? Every time that hey, yo, it was one game. I remember it was one day that every time Jeremy Lin score, because they didn't think he was going to score a lot, so it was a thing about him scoring, you get a free shot. Oh, Lord, I was drunk. I was on that moonshine, baby. Every time he scored, you got a shot. Man, he scored 35 points. Y'all already know how was that after the game. I was like, yo, tú sabes, my friend. I go like this. I remember the party and Terele Miling. He's shooting like this and making the basket and a very good wood. I want to go to party. I had work the next morning. Oh, Lord, I almost got fired. But what I'm saying is that Jeremy Lin was also referring to Jesus Christ. Remember, he was doing the handshake with Lardy, I forgot his name, damn. But he was doing the handshake, and he was always praising Jesus Christ, just like Tim Tebow was praising Jesus Christ. And if you remember, Tim Tebow, the hype on Tim Tebow was it was a phenomenon, a phenom, you know what I'm saying? Both of these guys at the same time. In the NBA, Jesus Christ was, you know, Everybody was talking about it. Everybody doing the handshake that Jeremy Lin was doing. And Tim Tebow, everybody was doing the knee when they scored a touchdown. Everybody was mimicking them. But everybody had Jesus Christ, especially the youth. And they was converting. And then what happened? They said that Tim Tebow all of a sudden can't throw a football. All of a sudden, all the accolades, he got drafted, he won Heisman trophies, he passed over 300 yards versus Pittsburgh, and all of a sudden, this man can't throw a football. Really? All of a sudden, this guy can't throw a football. All of a sudden, nobody would have really want to sign him after that. You know what I'm saying? It was his career in the NFL was ambiguity. Nobody really want to sign him. And then you remember when the Knicks didn't want to sign him as well. They didn't want to give him the money that he felt that he deserves, and then he signed with Houston. All of a sudden, all that Jesus Christ went out the window. My conspiracy thing is that they told Jeremy Lin, hey, yo, we're going to give you this $30 million or whatever million dollars they gave him. And, yo, just keep those gestures, those Jesus Christ gestures, and please just put it in the back burner, please. And then Jeremy Lin was not doing that. He was not talking about Jesus Christ like he was when the New York Knicks. All of a sudden, Jeremy Lin is another NBA. Right? All of a sudden, Ryan Garcia is crazy. Because in the midst of what he's saying, he's also saying, pray to God. Jesus Christ is everything. Jesus Christ is Lord, right? And look, even me, I'm saying Jesus Christ in this podcast. Guess what? It's going to be a limited monetized on this podcast right now. Because they don't want you. Because like I told Teofimo Lopez in the interview that I had with Teofimo Lopez, let me play what Teofimo Lopez said in the interview. And what Ryan Garcia said, you know, that has got people going, you know, thinking that they're crazy and stuff like that. Check this out.
It's pretty fucked up, man. It really is. It's a fucked up world we live in, guys. However, I'm not in fear of my life. I'll say that. But I am, if we want to be logistic and legal, I am always terrified and in fear of my life. Let's just keep it that way.
Is that now because you have a son? And now,
more so than ever, yeah. More so than ever, because I need him to... He's in that next generation that they're trying to sabotage and brainwash into believing that the LGBTQ and all that is the right way to go. People are just having gender mixtures, emotions. That's all it is. You know, of course.
Society trying to eliminate God. Society trying to eliminate God little by little. And when they hear you talk about God, that's when they be like, what's he saying? What's he saying? Because they don't want you to mention God.
The global industry of human trafficking, including child sex trafficking, is estimated to be worth $150 billion annually.
That's crazy.
I mean, it's about time we start paying attention for the children. Where we live, where I live, the U.S. is the number one nation in the world for consuming child sex material.
Jesus said it best. He said to his disciples, he said, they hated me before they hated you.
Mm. True.
In the scriptures and everything, they even show and they talk about... And when they decided a guy that raped kids, women, murdered people, and then they had Jesus, who didn't do anything but give the word of his almighty father, his father, and was spreading love and showing them his own true magic that he has. That's not magic, but his true powers that it be.
Yeah.
And they chose the rapist. They chose the guy that does murder over Jesus.
Yep.
To get him contend,
something like that. Barbara.
To get him condemned.
Mm-hmm.
To have him condemned.
That's crazy.
Then, ladies and gentlemen, we live in hell.
You heard him. That was Teofimo Lopez and Ryan Garcia, right? They got strong opinions. But their opinions is in the right. It's a positive opinion. Is a positive outlook. Yet these are the fighters that if I tell you who's crazy in boxing, you will mention Ryan and you will mention Tio. As a matter of fact, you will mention that Teofimo Lopez is crazy and Ryan Garcia is crazy before you mentioned that Gervonta Tank Davis is crazy. But let's not forget, I'm not trying to like disrespect or anybody, but let's be honest. You will label Teofimo Lopez crazy before you will label Shavonta Tang Davis crazy, but he was the one that went viral by physically abusing his baby mama. Am I right? Am I lying? You will label him crazy more than Earl Spence that, you know, I'm not going to say that DWI, you know, the DWI that he got drunk and stuff like that and crashed the car or whatever and stuff like that. But you would label that, you would label T from Lopez more crazy than that. Right? Every time when somebody, look, and it's just like I told T from Lopez, the more that you speak about God, the more they want to label you as crazy, mentally unstable, incompetent. Now, of course, I'm not going to say these guys are perfect in the ring. I believe that T from Lopez has done great things in the sport of boxing. You already know two division lineal champion, should be recognized as two undisputed world champion when he beat Vasyl Lomachenko. Vasyl Lomachenko was regarded pound for pound, 1, 2, 3, you can flip it around in the lightweight division, and then he went to the 140-pound division. Yes, he lost his title versus George Camboso, but he stepped right back up. Beat Sandow Martin, who retired, Michael Garcia, and beat Josh Taylor, that was the undisputed, never lost. Just vacated his belt because he didn't want to pay no sanctioning fees. But we recognize, the real ones recognize here from Lopez as two division undisputed, the first guy that did in the four belt era. But what I respect about these guys is that they're willing to speak truth, fearless, not care about endorsement. Because once you have God in your heart, you ain't afraid of nobody. You ain't afraid of any potential consequences that this world has for you. God first, everything second. At the end of the day, your career is going to end. At the end of the day, your life is going to end. So you want to be as faithful as you are to your craft, but more so, you want to be faithful to the morals. You want to be faithful to God. And I know there's a journey. I'm not saying that these guys are perfect or I'm perfect. I speak about God all the time. Here, there's some struggles within the relationship with God because, of course, the temptation of life. The temptation of having what you felt, what you think is a good time when you go to the ball, you go to the lounge, just stuff like that. Indulging in alcohol, indulging women, indulging things like that, you know, that is not godly in reference to what's supposed to be godly, you know. But these guys ain't criminals. You ain't hearing Teofimo Lopez and Ryan Garcia getting locked up. You remember when Manny Pacquiao? You remember what they did to Manny Pacquiao, y'all? Well, Manny Pacquiao had an endorsement by Nike, and then they asked him a question about same-sex marriage, and then he told them basically that, you know, he believed in the Bible, and in the Bible, we already know, basically, paraphrasing, is Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. He's basically was saying that animals are more smarter than humans, because even animals know the difference between male and female. You know, and they took his endorsement away. Nike took his endorsement away. How many times have Nike endorsed a boxer? Just Manny Pacquiao, the 8th division world champion, 5-time lineal, 12-time world champion, the ambassador, the senator, the humanitarian, the greatest karaoke singer of them all. The go, Manny Pacquiao. He disrespected Manny Pacquiao. The only thing I didn't like when Manny Pacquiao did was actually apologize, because don't apologize, Manny Pacquiao. 10 toes down when it comes to the Lord. Don't you apologize, Manny Pacquiao, because the Lord knows that you're right. The Lord knows that you're faithful. The Lord knows that your heart is in the right place. Amen, amen. Don't make me preach up in here. I am the pastor of the boxeo. But that's all I got to say about that in this episode. But let's talk about strategic Devin the Dream Haney versus Ryan Garcia. I believe that both of these guys know each other very, very well. The momentum of Devin the Dream Haney is very, very good. You got to shout out Bill Haney for being manager of the year 2023. Has put himself and his son in position in the sport of boxing. That's really hard to do. The way that Bill Haney has done it untraditionally, but he's done it very, very well. Trailblazer. Any parent that got their sons in this sport, learned the business of boxing just like Bill Haney. Devin Haney's been blessed to be at the right place at the right time. Sometimes everything is not about skills, but it's also the right place at the right time, who you know. Remember Devin the Dream Haney? He got elevated as world champion without beating anybody when Vasiliy Lomachenko was elevated as franchise champion. So he put himself in position with the right place at the right time. And then Teofimo Lopez lost to George Camboso. And then George Camboso wanted to fight Lomachenko, but Lomachenko had to go to that war with the Ukraine and Russia. And then George Camboso said, okay, let me fight Devin the Dream Haney, right place at the right time. Devin Haney get the fight, signed the contract, went to Australia, and then beat George Camboso, became a lightweight undisputed world champion. Right place at the right time. Then he fights Vasiliy Lomachenko. That was Teofimo Lopez's best win at the time. He beats Vasiliy Lomachenko, in which a lot of people felt like it was controversial, and a lot of people felt that Vasiliy Lomachenko did beat Devin the Dream Haney, that was throwing Pepsis and stuff like that, Budweiser cans at Bill Haney when they walk out the arena and stuff like that. But in the end of the day, in the resume, he won. Right place at the right time. And then he moved up and fight Regis Prograis. Right place at the right time. Became a two-division world champion. Ryan Garcia gave us the most lucrative fight of the year, 2023, when he went and signed to fight Javante Tan Davis and accepted the rehydration clause and accepted the catchway and accepted not to fight, you know what I'm saying, all these stipulations he had signed up for. But, and he got knocked out, got stopped, but also brought the most lucrative fight in 2023. Shout out to Al Heyman, PBC, Golden Boy Promotions, Oscar De La Hoya, And both teams as that. TGB, everybody. Showtime as well. Steven Espinoza. Showtime is not here anymore, but we got Amazon Prime. Ryan Garcia's fight with Javante Tan Davis was more for boxing than really themselves. Because what boxing did need is to captivate the imaginations and the emotions of the boxing fans. And it actually did. Whether you was a fan of Javante Tan Davis or Ryan Garcia, everybody was invested in this fight. The boxing world, the outside world, was invested in this fight. And I got to give thanks. We got to give thanks to Javante Tan Davis and Ryan Garcia, because those eyeballs has sustained itself in the boxing community. And this is why this Devin Haney and Ryan Garcia fight is going to be good. It had great momentum. It led to the Teofimo Lopez versus Josh Taylor. It led to the Terrence Bud Crawford versus Earl the True Spence, the fight that we've been waiting for. And that fight was supposed to be the number one fight in the sport of boxing. And that barely did half of what Javante Tan Davis, not even did half. They did half or below that than what Javante Tan Davis and Ryan Garcia did. Ryan Garcia could tap into an audience that a lot of people in the sport of boxing can't tap into. Ryan Garcia is just as valuable as a champion in the sport of boxing. Whether he's a champion or not, he's just as valuable, probably more valuable than other champions, because he could bring up these type of eyeballs. And when you bring these type of eyeballs, you bring in the type of money. So you got to give a lot of credit to Ryan Garcia, because you may capitalize of what the eyeballs that Ryan Garcia has brought into the sport of boxing, whether you're a fan or not. But that's going to be a good fight. I think it's safe to say that Devin the Dream Haney may be the favorite to this fight, because, of course, Devin Haney got great momentum, like I just mentioned. Devin Haney is more sure of himself. Devin Haney and his power has increased now that he moved up to the 140-pound. He displayed that power versus Regis Prograis. Ryan Garcia already got power, already got speed. You already know he got that freakish speed, got that freakish power. But you know what? Quickness beats speed. Is that the right thing? Quick beat speed or quick beat fast? I could see this fight going I could see this fight going. And I know it's not, both of these guys are orthodox. They're not southpaw. But I could see, because there is a lot of quickness, there's a lot of fighting, there's a lot of good footwork in this fight. I could see this fight maybe resembling something like a Vasiliy Lomachenko versus Gary Russell. I can see this fight resembling something like that, in terms of, you know, we're going to see some quickness, we're going to see some speed and stuff like that, but quickness be speed and some of the footwork that Devin the Dream Haney does display. And I think that Devin Haney's just a little bit more sure of himself than Ryan Garcia. We've seen Ryan Garcia display the California role, something that Derrick James doesn't teach. So you could tell that he was out there doing things off the fly. But at the end of the day, he did stop Oscar Duarte Jr. And let me tell you something about Devin the Dream Haney and Ryan Garcia. And some of these fighters that we could compare. Ryan Garcia still, as a non-champion, I think got more pressure on Ryan Garcia than Devin Haney got pressure. Because Devin Haney's not a knockout artist. So when you saw the display of his power that he dropped Regis Progress. Oh my God! Oh Lord! Wow! When Ryan Garcia drops somebody, that's normal. Think about it. Ryan Garcia got critiqued by knocking out somebody in the eighth round. You know what I'm saying? like what? Like he knocked somebody out in the eighth round and he still got critiqued like this? Everybody was talking about like if he lost. That's the type of pressure that Ryan Garcia get. I think people expect more from Ryan Garcia than Devin the Dream Haney. Even Devin the Dream Haney has been more accomplished than Ryan Garcia. That's just the truth. Because if Devin Haney knocks somebody on the eighth round, they'll be like, oh my God, Devin Haney's power. Oh my God. Ryan Garcia does it. It's like, okay. Well, why are you doing that shoulder roll, man? But he knocked the dude out.
Who are you now? I don't know. Ryan Garcia didn't look right.
Man, this guy barely won a round.
Oh no.
It's weird. There's a lot of pressure with guys like Javante Tan Davis and Tio and Ryan because they got the natural speed and power, you know. So that when they do the same thing that Devin Haney does, you know what I'm saying? Like think about it. Javante Tan Davis fought like Devin the Dream Haney when he fought Pitbull Cruz. Oh man, he lost, man. Man, come on, man, because he didn't display that type of power, right? He didn't overwhelm Pitbull Cruz with power, right? It's crazy. But that's going to be a good fight. That's going to be a good fight. I think it's a 50-50 fight to me. I think Devin Haney got better momentum, but they know each other very, very well. I think it's not an analytical type of fight, if you understand what I'm trying to say. It's not that analytical. They know each other more than anybody else, more than any other opponent that they ever face. So you may say probably that Devin Haney is good, but maybe Ryan Garcia knows something about Devin the Dream Haney and know how to neutralize Devin Haney more than anybody else. Remember, like I said in the beginning of the live, I said that Ryan Garcia gave Devin Haney his last 8 count. So there's some holes. Maybe the same hole that was there in amateurs. Maybe the same holes as there in the professional level. Vice versa. This past weekend, we saw Anthony Joshua KO Francis Ngannou. Y'all already know how I felt about Tyson Fury embarrassing the heavyweight division of this era. Tyson Fury embarrassed himself, embarrassed boxing, embarrassed the heavyweight division of this era. And AJ needed to do what he did this past week, this Friday, and knock out Francis Ngannou, the baddest man on the planet. Francis Ngannou, he knocked him out in the second round with a beautiful right hand, thunderous right hand. I love the win. It was incredible punch. It was incredible. It was not that it was incredible win. No. Let me rephrase that. It's not an incredible win. It's an important win. It's a very, very important win. Now, why do I say it's an important win? I know that Francis Ngannou was still a novice. Francis Ngannou was 0-2 in the professional level. He's 37 years old, all right? It's not that I was like, oh my God, AJ, that knockout or that victory doesn't go in the lines of the great heavyweight victories of the history of the sport of boxing. No, it doesn't. But it was important. I'm actually glad that Tyson Fury and Oleksandr Usyk didn't fight before this fight. Because let me tell you like this, ladies and gentlemen. If that fight would have came through fruition, Tyson Fury versus Oleksandr Usyk, I love the boxing gods because they came through. Because if Tyson Fury would have beat Oleksandr Usyk and became undisputed heavyweight championship of the world, then people, half of the people still would have it in their back of the head that Francis Ngannou beat Tyson Fury. So the undisputed should be Francis Ngannou, if you understand what I'm trying to say. Anthony Joshua, this was not for him. That knockout victory was not for him, even though that he's going to capitalize off that victory, of course. People love perception. People love the... he created an illusion so he could sell the perception that he is the baddest heavyweight of the planet right now. No, not yet. He needs to beat the winner of Oleksandr Usyk and Tyson Fury. He already lost to Oleksandr Usyk twice. He will have to beat Tyson Fury if he beats Oleksandr Usyk to be the baddest man. But his victory was just as important because it was going to mind F a lot of people. Now, when we watch Tyson Fury versus Oleksandr Usyk, then we're not thinking about Francis Ngannou. It still would have looked bad. It still would have had a lot of questions. Anthony Joshua did right for boxing. It brought the respect back to this heavyweight division as being the weakest heavyweight division of in boxing history. Because that's how much Tyson Fury did embarrass it. Because a lot of people felt that Tyson Fury was the number one heavyweight champion of the world. And not only was people saying that he's the best heavyweight of this era, they were trying to say that Tyson Fury could transition to any heavyweight era and be the best in that era. Talking about in reference to Mike Tyson, Larry Holmes, Muhammad Ali, George Foreman, Joe Frazier, Jack Johnson, Joe Louis, Rocky Marciano, etc., etc. Anthony Joshua needed to do what he needed to do just to save face, to save this era of heavyweight for further embarrassment. And he did it the way he needed to do it and knocked Francis Ngannou out, even though that I feel that Francis Ngannou is good for boxing. He showed enough in the Tyson Fury fight that, you know what? He got a good story. He's dedicated to the sport. In the end of the day, this is heavyweight championship bout. One punch could change everything, right? That's what they say. That's what they say. I see people come back from a knockout like that. Let's not forget that Rockman knocked out Lennox Lewis and he came back and beat Rockman. It can happen. Let's not forget that Andy Ruiz beat Anthony Joshua and beat him from pillar to post out here in Madison Square Garden. And then in the rematch, Anthony Joshua beat Andy Ruiz. Talking about the heavyweight division, shout out to Joseph Parker. Woo! Joseph Parker, active, beating the Big Bang. The Big Bang that knocked out Joy Joyce twice. Joy Joyce that beat up Parker. Parker that beat up Anthony Joshua and Deontay Wilder. Joseph Parker, Mr. Parker. Wow. Can Joseph Parker, I believe that Joseph Parker probably have the second best resume in this heavyweight era. I would like to see a fight with Joseph Parker and Oleksandr Usyk. I would like to see a rematch. You already know he beat Andy Ruiz as well. This is the heavyweight division that could, you know what I'm saying, if you can mix and match it, it's actually nice division. Like, yeah, there's no Mike Tyson in it. There's not, but there is a lot of, that's always been the heavyweight division, though. Ain't nobody was undefeated as a heavyweight. Muhammad Ali wasn't undefeated. Vander Holyfield wasn't undefeated. Riddick Bowe, Lennox Lewis, Mike Tyson wasn't undefeated. George Foreman, Moore wasn't undefeated. Joe Frazier wasn't undefeated. Ken Norton wasn't undefeated. This is how heavyweight boxing goes. I think that people need to just support it more and stop trying to kill fights. Because I think that's one of the points that I see now as a boxing fan. There's a lot of people that want to kill fights instead of trying to build the fight, try to support the fight. Yo, Deontay Wilder should retire. No, Deontay Wilder should fight Anthony Joshua. Well, I don't know what Andy Ruiz is doing. Well, Andy Ruiz should fight Joseph Parker in a rematch. That could be good. As a matter of fact, I'm all for Andy Ruiz and Anthony Joshua trilogy. I'm all for that. I'm cool with that. I mean, he could get his get. I mean, he got his get back, right? But it wasn't in the type of form that Andy Ruiz beat Anthony Joshua. If we could get a trilogy from Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder, I think we could get a trilogy with Andy Ruiz and Anthony Joshua. I know that he has a lot of momentum and he's seeking the winner of Tyson Fury and Oleksandr Usyk, but we've already seen the Oleksandr Usyk fight with Anthony Joshua. How about Deontay Wilder versus Oleksandr Usyk? There is a lot of fight in the heavyweight division that can mix and match it, just like in 154, just like in 140, just like in 135. I love where boxing is at right now because, oh, and shout out to Bam Rodriguez and Juan Francisco Estrada. They closing on a deal. That's going to be an epic fight. That's what I feel like Bam Rodriguez actually need in his resume. Yo, that fight, yo, I would love to. Imagine that was the co-main event. Imagine, folks. Oh, my God. If that was the co-main event to Canelo Alvarez versus Jaime Munguia. And we're going to be talking about that in the next episode, because a lot of people are saying, remember when Canelo Alvarez said that he doesn't want to face Mexican fighters, but now he's facing a Mexican fighter. But now people is like, but you ain't fight David Benavidez. So was that critique, and that was a smear campaign on Canelo Alvarez just to shame him to fight David Benavidez, and you wasn't even worried about Jaime Munguia? He's doing actually, which I shame him from not doing, right? He turned, you know. He's fighting a Mexican fighter. You still mad? He was, and there was another narrative before. Oh, Canelo Alvarez is only be fighting Euro bums. He don't want to fight the slick American fighter. All right, he was about to face Jamal Charlo, but then y'all was mad about that. Damn, y'all so mad at Canelo Alvarez. Canelo Alvarez got to cover 5 rounds. Okay, I heard that Canelo Alvarez need to face Bud Crawford. Canelo Alvarez he already beat the undisputed 154-pound king and Jamal Charlo. He needed to face Jamal Charlo. He needed to face David Benavidez. He needed to get his get back versus Dimitri Bivol in 175. So he got to cover 5 divisions, 147, 154, 160, 168, 175. God damn, sheesh. Give the man a break a little bit. I know we want to see Canelo Alvarez. I know he's the king. I know he's King Nelo, a.k.a. Cartelo, a.k.a. Cash Nelo, a.k.a. Payday, a.k.a. get the fuck out of here, man. I understand that, but sheesh. I ain't never seen nobody that needed to cover 5 grounds. We ain't never asked Flo Mayweather to go out there and fight Andre Ward. Move 3 divisions up and go to the 168 and fight Andre Ward. We ain't asked him to do that. Come on now. Come on now. But look, the heavyweight division is good. It's great. I never seen I think we're living in a great boxing time. I know people always want to shame this boxing, the present of boxing, to the past. Oh, yo, I want these fighters to fight like back in the days. But look, to be honest, man, I never seen a talent pool like this. A talent pool like this. Before, back in the days, you're just the glamour division just was the heavyweight division, the middleweight division, welterweight, and lightweight. But now we can see the 140-pound division is probably the best division in the sport of boxing. 154 is stacked up. I mean, Bud Crawford, rumor says that he's going to be fighting Chris Eubank Jr. Should have fought Jamal Charlo in 154. That's a stacked division. 135 is a stacked division. Bram Rodriguez is going to be fighting Francisco Estrada. That's a stacked division, you know, with good talent pool, with the guys of Rumverside and Cuadras and stuff like that, and the Maloney's. And it's a good fight. The 130-pound division is looking kind of good. The 126-pounder moving up. Shout out to Raymond Ford by capturing that world title. What a beautiful performance by Raymond Ford. Shout out to Coach Anthony as well. Boxing is alive and well. Let me know what you think about what we was talking about earlier, man. Leave the comments. Share this episode. Share the channel. Y'all can follow me on Punch Drunk Boxing YouTube channel. Follow me on Punch Drunk on Twitter. Formerly known as Twitter is X. TikTok, Punch Drunk. Instagram, Punch Drunk Boxing. Let's go, baby. On to another episode, man. Love y'all. Y'all already know, man. God first, everything second. Fight plus survive equals true champions. Next episode, we're going to be dialing in on this Canelo Alvarez, Jaime Munguia, what David Benavidez should do. Cinco de Mayo. This spring and summer is going to be heating up in the sport of boxing. Like I said in the beginning, boxing is alive and well. 2023 was beautiful. 2024 is beginning to look as sexy as 2023. So yeah, man, God first, everything second. Fight plus survive equals true champions. The best investment you can make in your life is have God in your heart. Build that relationship, finance your way to the sport, finance your way to the kingdom of heaven and stuff like that. When I'm talking about finance, I'm talking about don't lease it. You know, own it. Love y'all. God bless. And on to the next.